The title of this message is Let It Be Today. Walking by faith. Let faith rise. Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah, her also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not receiving the promises, having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That is us, beloved. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. By faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Amen. Amen. The storm clouds have certainly come. And the world itself is filled with darkness. And it feels like the evil and the gloom of which it casts has just filled the atmosphere. And those times of reprieve that we get, they tend to be shorter. They tend to be shorter. I think about just what this church has been going through collectively over the last 3 months, the amount of people who have been sick, that have had
household problems, the attack is intense. It's intense. And many can have little to no hope. We need to be planting seeds of faith of Jesus Christ to others. Because suddenly the promise of eternal life breaks the darkness and His glorious light appears. When you see someone who is just touched by the Lord, those scales come off and their eyes have been opened for the very first time. And they see things from God's view, the spiritual perspective. Because there are many people who live in fear of the darkness of this world. Wars and rumors of wars grip the heart of most people. Pestilence have come upon us, and fear generated by a virus has caused a panic that it will not fade. We know. People are in despair over an endemic and the fear of future pandemics, the isolation that was forced upon us. Then there's famine. It's not just a shortage of food, although that is certainly happening. The prophet Amos said that the day would come when there would be a famine for the word of God as well. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. It's not good to be hungry for food, but food only satisfies for a few hours, and then you hunger again. Famine for the word of God leaves a hunger that can only be filled by faith in God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, does it not? And this famine is spreading throughout the world. Many churches and pulpits have turned away from the truth for social acceptance and social issues. And we are seeing the twisting of scriptures to support a narrative. This past week, I heard one pastor in Seattle use the scripture in Deuteronomy that says, I've set before you this day life or death. Choose life. He used that passage to tell his congregation that God is pro-choice and also pro-life. You talk about twisting of scripture. Disgusting. Disgusting. Churches and teachers have watered down God's word so much that it's not being taught in full, and people are left hungering for truth. Those who are seeking, they're hungering for it. It's easy to skip over controversial verses or twist scriptures to misapply important truths in God's word. Many Christians seem to be satisfied with messages that tickle the ears. The people in that church should run. They should run from that church. And if you are not studying to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, then you are not in the know. And if you aren't in the know and you don't know the truth, then you open yourself up to be deceived. Food shelves and stores across the world are starting to become bare, just like pulpits are becoming empty of God's word. And if the pulpits won't do it, then all that's left is the remnant to share it. That's you. That's me. That's those of the Church of Philadelphia that are still clinging to the Word of God with what little strength they have. And pride and anger can get in the way of planting those seeds. It's not just others' pride and anger that just say, I don't want to hear it. It's also the fear of the backlash that we might face of sharing. Remember, people are watching you. They are watching you. And your actions matter. Our actions matter. Are you walking by sight or are you walking by faith? Because today people can see that things are getting crazy. And there's this overwhelming feeling that something big is coming. And they're right. Something big is coming. And only Christians have the answers. Bible prophecy will reveal what's coming. So study it. That when someone expresses fear, you have an answer. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear. Why is that hope inside you? Because you have faith. As others are departing from the faith, as others are falling away from the faith, as the world presses us from all sides, beloved, you need to press further into the Lord.
Amen.
Hebrews 10, 38 through 9, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We're not drawn back, we're drawn forward. We are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul, we press forward to the mark.
Amen.
Calling in Jesus Christ. And this is especially important as the time of Jesus' return approaches. That's noted. In Hebrews 10:37, it talks about he won't tarry, he's going to come. And as we see the day approaching, not forsaking the assembly of the saints. What is faith? Pistis in the Greek. Trust, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness. To be persuaded, to come to trust. Persuasion of his will. It is God's warranty that guarantees the fulfillment of the revelation he births within the receptive believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's God's guarantee. It's his guarantee. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance can mean essence or reality, and evidence can mean proof or conviction. Faith gives us solid assurance that God's promises will be fulfilled and a clear vision of the invisible spiritual reality. By faith, we understood the worlds were framed by the words of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The author of Hebrews emphasizes the point that men who had nothing in the way of outward evidence to support them, nevertheless, they retained a firm hold on the promises of God. In other words, they walked by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:6 is another foundational statement. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. To please God and to be motivated to faithfully follow God's commands, even in the intense crushing, this tribulation that we experience that Jesus said we would feel. In this world, you will have tribulation. We must also believe that he is. His awesome promises are yes and amen. There's a future there, and it's true. And he foresees the future. He's all-knowing, and he is all-powerful, and he controls all, for he is sovereign king.
Amen.
He is a good God. He is a loving God. He is a giving God, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you seeking him? You see, Noah sought God and therefore found favor from him. By faith, right? 11:7, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Listen, these are dark days. Love not the world. Do not conform to this world. He alone is worthy.
Jesus said in Matthew 24, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Think about those times of Noah. Genesis 6, it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives, marrying for themselves of all whom they choose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not some thoughts, every single thought, evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man. Right. Start over. Whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Every thought was evil continually. Would you not say that is perilous times? And the people did not respond. They didn't care. They continued to live their ungodly lives the way they pleased. They ignored God. God is speaking now, just as he did. He's speaking through weather. He's speaking through prophecy. He's speaking through judgment. That's right. C.S. Lewis said, suffering is God's megaphone to arouse a lost and dying world. And the longer they persisted in the days of Noah, the more unsound their reasoning became, and the harder it became for them to change, because their consciences was seared. They did not retain God in their knowledge. They did not acknowledge him. And just as Romans 1 says, God gives them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind. Because they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And God is about to destroy the earth just in this time too, as minds have gone to become reprobates. He tells Noah to build the ark. So Noah did. It says in verse 22:6, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Obedience makes all the difference in the world, folks. For 120 years, people went about their daily lives, never seeing rain, passing by this old man hanging off the side of a boat, which was ridiculously large. I watched a little special on the Ark exhibit down in Kentucky. It's larger than a football field. Yelling about an imminent flood that would cover and destroy the entire earth. Every blow of his hammer, the drag of his saw throughout the land saying, repent, repent, judgment is coming. It's like Isaiah and Jeremiah, warning, warning, warning. But the people did not want to hear. The mockers and scoffers, just like today, with their godlessness and their mocking of their unbelief, yelling probably just sarcastic profanity at him. You just, look at Europe. Loony bird. Yet Noah was steadfast. He was unfazed by it. He was a righteous man, just like you are righteous, folks. He just diligently kept hammering away what he was told to do, meeting the scoffers and mockers with truth and grace. He had been equipped to do every good work the Lord had commissioned him to do.
in the catastrophic event which annihilated mankind flowed out of revenge from God's broken heart. The entire earth's population was thinking evil constantly, and those evil thoughts would have included sexual promiscuity, all kinds of perversions. As Jude says, they pursued strange flesh. Noah's generation was living in a world without any moral compass or restraint. Do you see similarities? The flood demonstrated that God, though patient, does not tolerate sin forever. His spirit does not strive forever. Yes, he's patient, wishing that all would come to repentance, but that's not going to happen. Noah's generation deleted God from the human mind, erasing him from their collective conscience and from their culture. And this disregard for the Creator explains the moral corruptness found in his day. And we are seeing the similarities today. We're witnessing a systematic removal of God from our culture. I listened to a special, Charlie Kirk was talking about the Great Reset and the idea to undermine and take out the Ten Commandments. All over the world, Christian ideals and values are being choked, are being choked out by the tide of public opinion. Just recently, even with Roe v. Wade, I mean, the articles, 70% of this country, 75% of this country doesn't agree with the overturning. The human race has made self-gratification king, and that ties directly to perilous times, lovers of self, amen? So then the time came and the ark was completed. And Noah had finished his task. The Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. You and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me. That's chapter 7 in verse 4. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. In verse 16, so those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them. And the Lord shut them in. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month. On that day, all the foundations of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. It wasn't just from the top, it was from underneath. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. How foolish Noah must have looked building an ark in dry land. Noah seemed pretty crazy, right? Until the rain started, until the earth opened up. But soon the world was covered by violent, treacherous water to destroy all the inhabitants of the earth that were unrighteous before God's eyes. And we today, we see the cup of indignation filling right before our very eyes. We are at a tipping point. We are at a convergence of varying political signs, geopolitical, technological, economic, religious, political, and militarily. They're all merging at the right time, at the right place, to fulfill all the things the Bible says will come to pass. Jesus says these things must happen. Times are getting tough, and it will get tougher because the love of many are waxing cold. I heard talk about there's no natural affection anymore. That's in Scripture. God has promised us in Revelation 3:8 to open a door that no man can shut, and that is until he shuts it. And at the rapture, when we are, the resurrection day, we will be vindicated. As we sang that song, let it be today. The earth dwellers will soon very wake up to a sudden destruction, the wrath of God being poured out. My question is, do you think it was easy for Noah to walk by faith, living during that time? It certainly was not an easy walk of faith. It's actually called a race, is it not?
the race of faith. If it was easy, then why the call for endurance? My question to you is, what did you think it would be like living in the last days? We must walk by faith, not by sight. Going back to Moses in the same chapter, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Yeah, they did not bow when the music played. They knew the command would have sentenced their child to death. But God has plans and purposes. You see, the parents were thinking preservation of the child, and God had something much larger in store for Moses, something much bigger. By faith, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused it, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Be holy, be separate, set apart, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasures in Egypt, which is a form of the world. It's like Babylon. He looked to the reward. He looked to what reward? What reward? He believed that God is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There was a land greater, not just the promised land ahead, but that was beyond, a heavenly land. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. It took faith to believe that they could enter into their chambers, that the blood put over the post would preserve them. And so you too are sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been washed and made new so that death cannot overtake you. When you breathe your last breath, you are entered into his presence for all eternity. You are justified by faith, Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. I told you, people are watching you. What character are you demonstrating? And then it says hope. Now hope does not disappoint. Our hope is arise. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have been redeemed, beloved, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are heirs of the promise. We too look for the promised land. By faith, we look ahead. And some of you, we know, you're at your Red Sea moment. You're at your Red Sea moment. Exodus 14:10, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to his people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. That's right. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. And then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. He was surrounding them. And the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by the night to the other. He's with us. Even in the darkness, the light shines brighter. Hallelujah. So that one did not come too near the other all that night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land. The Spirit of the Lord comes from the east. Whew. From the temple. Hallelujah. And the waters were divided, so the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, and all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. A devotional I found many years ago. It's so applicable today. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move forward. Run your race. Moses brought the entire nation of Israel, 600,000, to a dead end in the desert by sight, what they saw. The only thing between Israel and Pharaoh's pursuing army was what? The Red Sea. After 10 plagues God had inflicted on Pharaoh to motivate him to free the Israelites. The power of God was demonstrated in the 10 plagues, was it not? Finally, Pharaoh had freed Moses and the people, and they left Egypt, and they thought they were home free, right? Ah, we're free at last, they said. But God did a strange thing. He says, Moses, take the route to the Red Sea instead of the northern route around the sea. He came to the sea. And God explained that he didn't want them fighting the enemies they would have encountered on that route. But still, there was the issue of the Red Sea. And they arrived at the Red Sea, and they were wondering, well, where do we go from here? Suddenly, Pharaoh changes his mind, and he's in hot pursuit. Panic sets in. Do you hear me? The enemy comes at you as a roaring lion, barreling down at you. The defenseless Israelites cried out. Was it because there was no graves, right, in Egypt, that you brought us out here to die? It would be better for us to go back to Egypt. No, don't go back to the mud. Don't be like the pig covered in mud that gets washed and go back to it. Don't be the dog that returns back to the vomit. There's nothing there for you anymore. There's nothing there for you anymore, child of God. God brings us to a Red Sea moment in our life. It could be work problems, financial problems. It could be a marriage that seems to be on the rocks, staring down failure. It may be a debilitating disease and sickness. Whatever your Red Sea moment is, God tells you this: keep moving. Keep moving. The Red Sea was before them, yet God was angered, telling them, keep moving. But Lord, the Red Sea is before me. Keep moving. Keep moving. When we live by sight, we act on what we see. God set this stage for dramatic fashion, folks. God is into the dramatic. There is no way without God here. They are pressed against it. They are pressed on all sides. They're funneled in. There's only one way to move forward. It's like the military leader when they came to the island and he said, burn the boats. Why? Because there was no going back. The only way was to go forward. And that is the way God wants it. Because no one will get glory except God. No flesh glories in his presence. It's no different than us boasting, for by grace we have been saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You must not withdraw. We don't pull back. We go forward, proactive in our faith, because of the, even in the midst of the trials that you are in, God's hand is on you. It is on you, my friend. The right hand of favor. There are too many depending on us as the church to fulfill our purpose, is what he's called us to do. To be a light in this dark and wasteful land. Keep moving. Even if you don't feel like it, keep moving. Even when there's too much pain, keep moving. Do it anyway. Because God can meet you at the point of your greatest need once you choose to be obedient. Power. There is power there. When we look past our problems for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. For him. For his glory. Not for ours. For his glory. That's when the Red Sea gets parted. We begin to walk in freedom. But we have to keep moving, folks. The path of obedience is the path of faith that looks to God and not to circumstances, both before and after the will of God has been made abundantly clear in your life. Circumstances change, but the Alpha and Omega does not. He's consistent. So by faith, they pass through the Red Sea by dry land. Where the Egyptians attempting to do so the same were drowned. So let's tie this all together. Thinking about Noah and Moses. You are at a moment now where we see the coming judgment like Noah. We see the enemy pursuing us as we are walking and trusting God with water on both sides. The enemy's pursuit is fierce. Let it be today that we walk by faith, not by sight, that we will not be shaken. We will not be overcome by fear. For Isaiah 43 says, but now, just as you said it before, brother, and he didn't know what I was preaching on. Now, thus says the Lord who created you and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Hallelujah. You are an heir of righteousness. You are his. And he is mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, just like the cloud was. Hallelujah. And through the rivers, they will not overflow. And when the fire comes, you walk through the fire, and you will not be burned, because the flame will not overcome you. We walk through the refiner's fire now, faith being refined, because the coming judgment of fire will not scorch you. Hallelujah. 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 Judgment comes. Walk by faith, not by sight. And if you want that faith that assures you salvation and eternal life, it could be yours today. And if you've wandered like a prodigal, the time is now to come back. The time is now to come back. Don't let the door shut.
Don't let the door shut. Admit you're a sinner. That you need a Savior. None is righteous. And the wages of sin is death. And death is a scary thing if you are not covered by the blood of Jesus. God is faithful to forgive. Repent of your sins. Metanoia, a change of mind, a change of direction. I'm walking forward. Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he was raised from the dead, and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Today, call upon the name of the Lord. You will be saved. You will be saved. Walk by faith. Let faith rise. Let it be today. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for the power of your word, the heroes of our faith, the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Let us walk boldly this week, Lord, proclaiming your goodness, trusting in you in all things. You'll direct our path. Even if it's to the Red Sea and through it, you are there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.